Good afternoon. The first afternoon show of Youth Speaks Out in our new time slot from 2 to 3 on Sunday, the last Sunday of each month. And this is a special show because we're going to do some pledging, but also we have some great performances coming up from the Willits Charter School under the direction of Brian. I wanted to say a little bit about what's going on with Youth Speaks Out. The normal hosts that we've had for the last 2 years are from Laytonville High School, and they also happen to be on the mock trial team, and Laytonville High School won the county level for mock trial, and this weekend they're at the finals state competition representing Mendocino County down in the Bay Area. That's part of the reason that Laytonville High School isn't doing the show this week. They would have been happy to do it. I want to briefly go over the shows that we've done in the last year. We started off 2006 doing a show called What Does Testing Prove? In February, we talked about military recruiting on campus. In March, we covered options for life after high school. April saw many actions about immigration in the U.S., so our topic was immigration and May Day. In May, we had the opportunity to interview Native American poet and activist John Trudell in a program called Thinking Clearly in the 21st Century. Youth Speaks Out was preempted in June for a music festival. In July, we discussed gay youth. In August, we covered teens and alcohol, discussing the topic with the local director of an organization called Stop Teen Drinking. In September, we rebroadcast an interview with the recently deceased district attorney Norm Vroman and then talked about political awareness in high school. Midterm elections in youth was our subject for October. For November, our topic was redefining poverty in rural Mendocino County, looking at the marijuana economy and how it affects the income of many residents of this county and visitors. In December, our topic was consumerism and college debt. Our theme for the January show was cruelty, a most common experience for those in high school, though rarely discussed. And last month, we had a third part in the series called Who Needs Prisons and Who Do the Prisons Need? A Further Exploration of the Prison Industrial Complex. We want to thank all the callers who have joined in to make this public affairs show so dynamic. And if you missed any of these shows, you can hear them on your computer by going to www.youthspeaksout.net. I want to especially thank the individuals who have helped with the expenses for this show, donations being the only financial support we have for feeding and driving the students and for our website fees. Thank you, and it was great to see many of you at the Youth Speaks Out booth at the John Trudell concerts in Laytonville last week. So I want to give out the numbers. If you want to pledge, it's 895-2233 or 1-800-298-1296. Youth Speaks Out, the only youth radio show on KZYX. And so on with the show.
Those are some wonderful topics, Dan. Wonderful topics. Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Tonight's hosts are me, Brian Arnold, and Billy Hetherington will join us later. We've all been involved in creating, performing theater in Willits, both as youth and with youth. Tonight our topic is youth and theater. I've been involved in theater since high school and recently graduated from San Francisco State University with a BA in play development. I've acted in various plays and been involved in numerous theater groups and companies. I've produced, directed, and written for the stage. Currently, I'm working with students at the Willits Charter School in acting techniques including Suzuki Method, Realism, and Classical Acting Techniques. I am involved on the board of directors with the Willits Young Actors Theater and the Willits Shakespeare Company. Tonight, we'll discuss what kind of opportunities there are for youth to become involved in theater. We'll hear monologues by my students at the Willits Charter School. Also, we will describe what is gained from performing, producing, and teaching drama. We'll discuss these topics and more this afternoon. We hope that you're interested in this topic and will want to participate later in the hour. We're here at the Willits Studio Live, and our phone number is 456-9991. We will encourage everyone to join in the discussion. I wanted to start out this afternoon's program with a monologue by a student of mine, Sabrina. And she will be performing a monologue from The Effect of Gamma Rays on the Man in the Moon Marigolds by Paul Zindel.
He told me to look at my hand. for a part of it came from a star that exploded too long ago to imagine. This part of me was formed from a tongue of fire that screamed through the heavens until there was our sun. And this part of me, this small part of me, was on the sun when it itself exploded and whirled in a great storm until the planets came to be. When there was life, perhaps this part of me got lost in a fern that was crushed and covered until it was coal. And then it was a diamond, millions of years later. It must have been a diamond as beautiful as the star from which it had first come. Or perhaps this part of me became lost in a terrible beast, or became part of a huge bird that flew above the primeval swamps. And he said this thing was so small, this part of me was so small it couldn't be seen, that it was there from the beginning of the world. And he called this bit of me an atom, and when he wrote the word, I fell in love with it. Atom. Atom. What a beautiful word.
That was wonderful. Thank you, Sabrina. Sabrina, I've worked with Sabrina on a couple different occasions. She's been with me at the Willis Charter School this entire year, and she's a wonderful acting student. I also worked with her, along with Billy Hetherington, when the Willis Community Theater put on a youth summer project over 2 years ago. She's about 3 feet taller now, and that was really fun to do when we did Treasure of the Gypsy, something that I wrote along with Billy and Mark. So thank you, Sabrina. Next, I wanted to hear a monologue by Brian Pern. He's going to be doing a monologue by Eugene from Brighton Beach Memoirs, written by Neil Simon.
That's what they have gutters for. If my mother knew I was writing all this down, she'd stuff me like one of her chickens. I'd better explain what she meant by Aunt Blanche's situation. You see, her husband, Uncle Dave, died 6 years ago from this thing. They never say the word. They always whisper it. It was cancer. I think they're afraid if they said out loud that God would say, "I heard that. You said the dread disease. Just for that, I smite you down with it." There are some things that grown-ups just won't discuss. For example, my grandfather. He died from diphtheria. Anyway, after Uncle Dave died, he left Aunt Blanche with no money, not even insurance, and she couldn't support herself because she has asthma. So my big-hearted mother insisted we take her and her kids in to live with us. So they broke up our room into two small rooms. Me and my brother Stan live on this side, and Lawyer and his sister Nora live on the other side. My father thought it would just be temporary, but it's been 3.5 years so far, and I think because of Aunt Blanche's situation, my father is developing high blood pressure.
Thanks a lot, Brian. That was wonderful. Brian just joined me this semester to start work at the Willis Charter School in our theater program that we have going on there. We meet 2 days a week, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I've just been really impressed by the group of students that I've had this semester, their dedication and their skills. They're just really willing to sink their teeth into the theater that I'm able to help them along with. The next student up, the next actress that we're going to be seeing, is Tori. She's going to be reading from Antigone by Jean Anou. And your character is Mamie. And here's Tori.
No, no, no! His mob will come running, howling as it runs. 1,000 arms will seize our arms. 1,000 breaths will breathe in our faces. Like one single pair of eyes, 1,000 eyes will stare at us. We'll be driven in a tumbrel through their anger, through the smell of them and their cruel roaring laughter. We'll be dragged to the scaffolds for torture, surrounded by guards with their idiot faces, all bloated, their animal hands clean washed for sacrifice, their beefy eyes squinting as they stare at us. And we'll know that no amount of shrieking and begging will make them understand that we want to live. For they're like slaves, do exactly what they've been told, without caring about right or wrong. And we shall suffer, we shall feel pain rising in us, till it's so unbearable that we know it must stop. But it won't stop. It'll keep on rising and rising like a screaming voice. Oh, I can't. I can't, Antigone.
Excellent, Tori. Thank you very much. So, we're doing a monologue show. It's going to be tomorrow at the Willits Charter School. We're doing one in the morning for the school at the Morning Circle. It's at 8:30 a.m. Should be pretty crowded. But our evening show at 5:30 p.m., also at the Charter School, is open for everyone to come by. It's free of charge, and you can see these wonderful monologues along with some Suzuki-style training that I've been working with the children on. It was created by Tadashi Suzuki in Japan and is now renowned throughout the world as a very physically demanding training method. We don't quite fake it, but we try to do as much as we can without exerting ourselves too much.
So where is the Willits Charter School?
The Willits Charter School is located just off of Commercial Street.
Okay, so if you're in Willits, you go to Commercial Street, head east past the movie theater, and then past the community center, and then it's right on the corner there.
And if you need more information on that, it's 459-5506 is the number of the charter school.
And if you wanted to see these performances, you could maybe see them at 8:30 in the morning. You could definitely see them at 5:30 in the evening.
So they're going to be performing these monologues along with, like I said, the Suzuki, where they all deliver a monologue together, as well with specific stomping movements that are derived from the Suzuki training. Next, reading a monologue or performing a monologue from St. Joan, written by George Bernard Shaw, is Elisa.
Yes, they told me you're fools, and I was not to listen to your fine words nor trust your charity. You promised me life, but you lied. You think life is nothing but not being stone dead. It's not the bread and water I fear. I can live off of bread. When have I ever asked for more? It's no hardship to drink water, as long as it be clean. Bread brings me no sorrow, and water no affliction. But to shut me away from the light of the sky and the sights of the fields and flowers? To chain my feet so I can never again ride with soldiers or climb hills? To make me breathe foul, damp darkness and keep from me everything that brings me back to the love of God when your wickedness and foolishness tempt me to hate him? All this is worse than the furnace in the Bible that was heated 7 times. I could do without my war horse. I could drag about in a skirt. I could watch as the banners and the trumpets and the knights and the soldiers pass by me and leave me behind as they do the other woman. If only I could still hear the wind in the trees, the larks in the sunshine, the young lambs crying in the healthy winter frost, and the blessed, blessed church bells that bring my angel voices floating to me on the wind. But without this, I cannot live. And by you wanting to take them from me, from any human creature, I know that your counsel is of the devil, and that mine is of God.
Wow. Wow. That was amazing, Elisa. Thank you. Some pretty powerful stuff, huh, Dan?
Absolutely.
They've been working hard on this semester, and
yeah.
I felt that working on monologues to begin with this new group of students would really allow them to get into the form and passion of acting. That first of all, you have to focus on yourself as an actor, and then being able to work with others as well is really important. But when you can focus on a monologue and take it away from a play and be able to put your whole focus and energy on this one delivery instead of getting caught up into a production where you may get lost along the way and maybe forgotten by the director for now and then. But this allows me to give them each personal attention and work on their acting skills in a more individuated manner.
Well, I think it's really amazing the pieces that they're reading too are all rather dynamic. I gotta say, they're great.
Next up is a student named Chris, and he will be performing a monologue from Summer Tree by Ron Cohen.
It's hot out here, just sitting and waiting, shirt sticking to my back. I hate it like this, wiping sweat out of my eyes. Damn. I'll just lie here and let the breeze cool my face. Just close my eyes and put my head back. I have to remember all these things. Hey, you're tickling me. Ow, that hurts. Mom? Dad? I wish you could feel the palm of my hand. You see how smooth it is? Can you tell that it is warm? There are all these lines, all these little lines, going all over, crisscrossing, entwining, stopping, starting up again. You know? Hands are like leaves, but you know that. Ever peel a leaf? You know, you peel off the skin, or the flesh, the green part, and try and just leave the veins without breaking any of them. Like this. Very slowly, very carefully. Just do it very slowly and be very cautious not to break a vein in two. See? It looks like a winter tree. Then you hold it up to the sun and see how it makes a shadow. It looks like a big skeleton's hand. Do you ever wonder if a hand could be stripped like a leaf? It could, you know? Sure. You very slowly, very carefully peel the skin away, being careful not to break anything. Then you hold the skeleton hand up to the light and see how it makes a shadow, like a big winter tree. If you care to try it yourself, I guarantee you won't feel a thing, except yourself, screaming. You know, this tree has been here for years and years. It's funny, the first thing I wanted to do when I was a kid was to dig it up and see it fall over. I guess all kids do.
Thanks, Chris. I guess there is some pretty heavy material here, huh, Dan?
It's great, and the sequence is really profound, too. I hope I can get to one of those performances tomorrow, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to.
Just the images that the playwrights have been able to develop in each one of these monologues is really what I went for in choosing these monologues. I keep telling the kids that each one of these words, you should be behaving as a painter. With each brushstroke, make each one of these words, paint an image for the audience and for yourself so that we can clearly see exactly what you're saying and experience it along with you as you're delivering it. We've also worked along with realizing that the voices and the words from these people aren't something that they've rehearsed. These characters from these characters, it's in the moment, and they've got to come to a place where they can start delivering these lines where they just come spontaneously instead of a rehearsed just regurgitation of the words. It's more of a finding the words and then coming and bringing them out on your own kind of personal level, so connecting with the character and the text that is important, and they're really getting it. We have next a bright young kid from Willits, Skyler, performing a monologue from Nourish the Beast by Steve Tessick.
Let me continue. I don't know how old I was when they put me in the orphanage. Not very. The first time I heard the word orphan, I thought it was this guy's name, Billy Orphan. Then I found out that I was an orphan too, and I figured Billy and I must be related. Then I found out that we're all orphans, so I figured, hell, somebody must be lying. But let me finish. So we're all orphans, but I still didn't know what the word meant, except that we talked about everything in terms of that one word. The outside world was a non-orphanage. Those that got placed were de-orphanated. Those that came back were re-orphanated. For the longest time, I thought only guys were orphans, so when I grew up, I wanted to be a girl. Then I found out that there are female orphans, too. We called them orphanettes. But I still didn't know what the word meant. So, I asked one of the guards one day. He said it was somebody nobody liked. But these other orphans liked me. Billy liked me. So I asked him if that made me a non-orphan. He said no. He said being liked by another orphan didn't count.
Wow. Well, I think it counts, Skyler. Gosh darn it.
That was great.
So Skyler, this last year, also the first time that I saw him acting was on stage at the Willits Shakespeare Company in your performance of...
Claudio.
Claudio. Can you tell me something about your experience working with the Shakespeare Company?
Yeah. At first I was going to be one of the watchmen in the play, but then Billy saw me playing the part of Claudio because the guy wasn't there. And he liked me playing that part, so... he asked me if I would play it, and then I thought about it, because it would be a lot more lines than the one line with the Watchmen. But I said yes, because I wanted to, you know, go for something else and, take a big step. And I mean, it was kind of hard because it was Shakespeare, and you have to read Shakespeare over, like, 5 times to actually get what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, I knew the point that I was getting across, but I didn't, what I was actually saying, I didn't know how that was related to what I was trying to say. So, yeah, it was fun. I liked it.
Excellent. You thinking of doing something else with the Shakespeare's company this next year?
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that, yeah. I hear they're doing Hamlet, so...
Right, right. Shakespeare Company's going to be working on Hamlet this next summer, along with a lot of other projects that we're going to start talking about soon. Thanks a lot, Skyler.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'll just remind listeners that this is the Pledge Drive, and... be nice if people would show some support for Youth Speaks Out on the Pledge Drive by calling 895-2233 or 1-800-298-1296. Please call and pledge up for Youth Speaks Out.
Pledge for Youth Speaks Out and the whole radio station, KZYX and Z.
Exactly.
Next up, we have... two students who have performed their monologues already, but we're going to do a short scene from Mary Zimmerman's Metamorphoses, which was actually produced this last fall at Mendocino College. So here we have Chris and Tori from a scene of Metamorphoses.
I don't know what the power of love has down here, but I've heard that he has some, for he has brought you two together. If that is true, passion that moved you once, then listen to me. I've tried to master the grief, but I can't. I understand we all come here in the end. My bride Eurydice will soon enough be a citizen of yours in the ripeness of her years. I'm asking for a loan, not a gift. If you deny me, then one thing's for certain. I want you to keep me here as well.
Your song has moved us, Orpheus, and you may have her on one condition. As you ascend and leave this place, she will not walk beside you, but she will be following. You must not, until you pass all gates, turn around to look at her. If you look at her before you reach the sunlight, she is ours forever.
I understand.
And then Orpheus begins his ascent, only to lose his bride and Eurydice again. Thank you guys for that performance of that short scene. Wonderful. So we're being joined now by a great friend of mine, the president of the board of directors of the Willett Shakespeare Company, and director and actor extreme, extraordinaire, William Hetherington, the third, I presume.
Close enough, Beep. Close enough. How you guys doing today?
We're grand.
Awesome, awesome. Man, you guys are sounding really good out there. I was rushing here from Eureka with no windshield wipers. Blazing my way through the storms to make it here, and flipping on the radio, going, "Wait, is that the show?
That's the show.
Awesome! You guys are great, man.
You're
really enjoying it.
No, I really wanted to give thanks to all the students that performed today.
Absolutely.
And we're pretty much done with the performance monologue section, but hopefully, all you at home are giving them a nice round of applause or possibly a standing ovation. And remember to come see them tomorrow at 5:30 at the Willits Charter School, if you can make it. They'd love your support.
And the Willits Charter School is on East Commercial, right off 101, 2 blocks east on the corner there, next to John's place, eh?
Excellent, yep, it is. And remember...
the police station in John's
place. Yeah, sandwich right in there. So we wanted to switch gears here, and I think we wanted to go and start talking about sort of renaissance that's going on in the community of Willits, considering youth in theater, and what Billy and I are trying to do for it. I'm not only working at the charter school teaching theater there, but I'm on the board of directors at the Willits Shakespeare Company, as well as the Willits Young Actors Theater. We want to start out by talking, along with Billy and myself, I'll continue to talk, about the Willits Shakespeare Company and what we're going through right now and the direction, the wonderful direction and positive direction that we're headed in.
So, I mean, we're kind of getting back to the roots of the Willits Shakespeare Company and the youth-based organization. We really want to focus a lot more on creating an essential program for the youth and being this resource in the community for people, you know, people that are under 18. I mean, there's more and more options now than there was when I was growing up here. And the Willett Shakespeare Company was a big option and a saving grace in my life growing up in this town. It gave me something to do, some focus, gave me a lot of confidence in what I was doing, and really kind of honed this in me to really continue this program and make it beneficial for other youth in the community and for it to carry on. So what Brian and I and the rest of the board have been working on is the beginnings of a real stable program where it's focused on kids 8 to 18, generally over the summer, starting pretty much right after school ends, so right before school begins. And we'll be doing a whole slew of things, from workshops to monologues and scenes. Our traditional show that we've been doing each summer is going to become a little different. We're hoping to take on a lot more youth and focus on this age range of 8 to 18, and hit them with all the knowledge of Shakespeare and the era. Joe Hughes, who began the company, he's just a master of what's going on and what was happening at the time when these plays were written, and it's really always a fascinating tale or story to hear. So the program we're instigating here is basically we're going to take some fun scenes from a couple of Shakespeare's plays and really crunch into those and have some fun with those and see what happens with that, as well as the Hamlet that we're doing. We're realizing it's we've been dealing with a lot of things with the tent and building this theater, and this Hamlet, of course, you know, you do a Hamlet, you want to do it right. So we're realizing it's going to take a lot more work than we initially expected. And But we've got some great ideas for that as well. We'll go into that a little bit later, Pat.
So you mentioned the tent, Billy, and I bet everybody in our community has realized that the tent that was up for over 2 years, housed the Willett Shakespeare Company for two seasons, is down now. We were asked by the city to take it down this last summer, which we did. And so we've been going through the political gauntlet of trying to get rezoning.
Yep.
Working with some politicians in town who are trying to find some way that we can all get together and hopefully come out on a positive level and put the tent back up somewhere. Eventually get a permanent theater built.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's the tent is just kind of there so that we can continue to do this until this theater's built. And, I tell you, coming from an artist standpoint into, like, the political and bureaucratic meanings and findings of how what it takes to get these programs going, it's intense. It's been a educational experience, to say the least.
Well, yeah, that's where we're both coming from, is the artistic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
and from a perspective of getting youth involved in the theater.
Absolutely.
And in a lot of other positive things. There's so many different things that we're offering for the youth, our workshops and the shows that we do, but also, you know, set building, lights. They're learning so many different things.
I've always thought that community theater, especially, is just kind of a nice little model for community, and hopefully, hello, and hopefully the world. I mean, it's all these people kind of coming together for one common goal, and that's to create something beautiful. And there's all different aspects of it. You know, there's on stage and there's behind stage, and there's even the technical and business side of it, too, and we really kind of give everybody an insight into all of that and offer that through workshops. And, you know, if anybody just wants to come and volunteer and help out and they're just interested in any way, they can always come down and check us out when during the summer when our program's up and running, which is soon to become a year-round program, essentially.
So we've had some really, really positive public and community support for
absolutely
for the company, as well as hopefully being able to get back into our site that we have downtown across from the Frank Howard Memorial Hospital, which is where the Willett Shakespeare Company resides and will revive again.
I just like to say that as somebody who went to a couple of plays at the tent was a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know there's a petition that at least was around asking that the city rescind or whatever, you know, put the tent back up. I mean, it was a really amazing part of Willits. You mm-hmm. know, it was a down-home kind of situation. And, you know, people really enjoyed what happened in the tent. So if you see this petition around, is the petition still around?
There is a few locations. I believe Hava Java right down here has a petition up. A couple of coffee shops. I think the pub has one. We did collect a lot of them because we thought we were going to be going to the city council at the beginning of this month, but it turns out we're going to be going April 25th mm-hmm. just to get out there and say, hey, this is what we're going through, and any suggestions you can give us to keep this program alive in Willits, we're more than gladly take them and begin to implement that. So
exactly. There's a need in the community for youth programs and for something positive for the youth to do, and this has been expressed in the city council meetings as well as just out on the street talking to people. We provide this need, so hopefully we can come to some kind of resolution that we can have a space and make it work out. Like Billy said, April 25th we're gathering just to maybe show a public show of support. You can join us there. And
that's going to be where? At the city council?
At the Willits City Council.
Yeah, that'll be at the city council meeting, the city hall here in Willits.
So it'll be like 7 o'clock in the evening?
7 o'clock in the evening. We'll probably meet up a little bit before that, we'll probably say 6 o'clock, probably even down at my parents' house at 161 West Commercial, and just kind of gather up there and come together and just, we've slotted a time slot there to give people who really felt the need to an opportunity to talk about their experience with the Willits Shakespeare Company.
Come down and testify.
Yeah, testify. Amen, brother. Amen. But yeah, I mean the Willits Shakespeare Company is a community. You know, that's we wouldn't exist. We would not be able to function. We would not be able to do anything without the support, the wonderful support of this community that we live in, and the rich talent base that's here. And so it's just kind of saying, look, this is the Willits Shakespeare Company. We are the community. We all want to be a part of this. We want to see an amazing venue in this town, and you know, give something for the youth to do. You know, there's definitely a lot more things going on nowadays than there was, like I said, when mm-hmm. when we were growing up here. But it's still like the arts. The lack of funding for the arts is becoming more and more of an issue, and. It's kind of scary to me when you think that, you know, there's no money going towards this whole facet, this a very important facet for expression and a fulfillment for the needs of the youth to be able to feel comfortable expressing themselves and finding themselves in this expression. So,
mm-hmm. The Willits Shakespeare Company essentially operates off of zero funding.
Yeah.
It's volunteer-based, and we have... since the inception of the organization of the Willits Shakespeare Company, have provided free summer programs for youth ages 8 to 18, and that's something that we will always continue to do. Like Billy was saying, we're going to start up our workshops again here in May. It's going to include set construction, lighting, mask making, acting, and a lot more to be announced.
I've got a question for you, too. In acting, what do you think that youth gain from learning to act, perform monologues and stuff like that? Because, I mean, I think it's a lot, but why don't you describe how it changed your lives or what you see when you work with young people?
Well, I know for me personally, like I said, I first got into the Willits Shakespeare Company when I was, I think I just turned 18. I'd been getting in a little bit of trouble around town, just lack of things to do, and actually went in front of the city council and made a big speech, told them that I thought it was their fault because they didn't provide anything for us to do. And I did my thing, and but soon after that, the Willits Shakespeare, it wasn't even the Willits Shakespeare Company. A play opened up. It was Romeo and Juliet. They were looking for actors. I said, what the heck? I'll go ahead and audition for this, and I did. And really, just the focus, the creativity. I've always been an artist, and felt like, you know, it was really important that I had this place, but I didn't know where to go. And this kind of created for me, gave me a place to be. The confidence I gained from being up on stage in front of a lot of people was, words cannot describe that. It's really carried with me. And just being a part of the community, it's a great way, I say, for anybody that's new to the community or just, you know, wants to gain friends or family. The family dynamic that comes out of it is always amazing. Always love to see that. When every year when we do these shows, we get a bunch of people that have never done any production before in their life or have never done a Shakespeare play. And they come to us, and by the end of it, I mean, it's, you would never be able to tell that they've never done anything on stage before. And the family that comes out of it, too, it's like a lifelong friends. I mean, we've had marriages through the company. We've had babies born in the company. It's just been a really beautiful thing to see happen. So,
I think it's a positive. Going from the whole spectrum of things, you have the creative outlet for children to be able to reach into a script, into a text, see these words coming from a different era, Shakespeare, or even the modern monologues that these kids were performing today, and to try them on, try these words on, bring them out in a different way that belongs wholly to them. You know, try on these different hats, get up in front of people, not make an ass of yourself, but be brilliant with it, you know.
Or make an ass of yourself. You're right. And be loved for it, you
we
know.
We all enjoy doing that, too. But, you know, like Billy said, you get this family feeling. You get a community. You know, when you sit there and work together on a play for 2 months, you spend your evenings together, you're learning your lines together. It provides a support group. It's a community. It's a creative outlet. It is an opportunity to be active in your community and as an individual in a positive way, you know.
And the stage building and the lighting and all that stuff's important too, because I mean, not everybody is going to ultimately be that confident getting up and, you know, having people look at them,
yeah,
even if they're in another character. But all the technical stuff, I mean, it's a really beautiful thing that's happened to theater in Willits here. And there's the community theater also, but that's really more of a, it's mostly an adult thing, but you guys did stuff there when you were...
That's where we started, actually. I mean, mm-hmm. We got to give props and praise to the Willits Community Theater for hanging with us in the beginning and going, letting us do our thing that we did there. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I remember doing a Midsummer Night's Dream, which was...
My first play.
Your first play with the Willits Shakespeare Company. Mm-hmm. And just having all these great ideas, just coming from the school that I went to, Del Arte, and just really wanting to implement a lot of those into the show and blasting the smoke machine for 10 minutes in there and everyone coughing and hacking through it, but essentially loving it in the end, you know. And yeah, so a lot of love and praise to the Willits Community Theater for giving us that opportunity in the beginning and letting us do what we did there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking it to this next level. I mean, in the beginning, I don't think we were thinking really the direction we were going with it. We just wanted, I think Joe Hughes and Ann Vanderhoek and Marsha Hetherington all wanted to just see this thing just become something for the community. And it really has, in this last couple of years, I feel, really kind of defined itself in a role as a space for the community. And when we had the tent up and people come up and ask, hey, what's going on with the tent? Could we rent it for a high school reunion? Or I think we had a quinceañera there. There was a benefit concerts for numerous things around town and in the county. And it just really became like, wow, okay, we've attained that community resource level. And above that, just having this great place to just come and be yourself and, you know, like I said earlier, make an ass of yourself and be loved for it. You know, it's important, I think, especially in the bard's work. You know, it's be able to tell the truth in a way that doesn't get your head chopped off, I guess.
Not anymore, anyway. Yeah. We hope.
But we do have, we got some projects coming up, too. We're going to be, we've been helping out with Robin Krause, who's our lighting technician through the Willits Shakespeare Company. He's got the Dance for Freedom Festival coming up in the summer. And but he's doing a fundraiser for that before that, and I believe it's April 7th at the Grange. He's going to be doing the Dance for Freedom Cafe.
Right.
And sounds like he's got a nice little lineup there. I know some friends of ours, Serendipity Project, that have played at the tent in our barbecue and tomato toss, which is one of our fundraisers. If you haven't been to that, that's a hoot.
Yeah, summertime, July, right?
July, yeah. It's usually mid-July, and you can get an opportunity to really, you know, get all your frustrations and anger out at us with some tomatoes, which are actually water balloons, red water balloons, and we put on a shticky version, a really mocky kind of bad version of Shakespeare.
The way most people do Shakespeare.
Yeah, you know.
we do that and allow you to throw water balloons at us.
A common version of Shakespeare, and yeah, you get to just let us have it with these tomatoes.
That's the barbecue in July. We got live music, that tomato toss, dancing, and we got a lot of great food there, too.
Yeah, and also, you know, we always invite other vendors from the community to come out and show what they got, other companies, if they got some stuff, we always allow some room, and I think we're gonna have a couple of actually youth bands coming up this summer too as well. I know maybe not bands, but youth acts. I spoke with a couple of the kids around the community that you know, just a singer and a drummer and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and see what they could put together for us.
Well, that's the whole thing. As the Willett Shakespeare Company continues to evolve, we want to get further into the whole aspect of performing arts. We're not going to just be directed into just the whole realm of Shakespeare, which is limitless, and we could focus on for millennia to come. Sure. But we want to branch out, you know, get the music going. We want to have a complete educational facility where we can have dance and provide something for everybody, like you were saying, Dan, the whole backstage. We provide workshops for that, for the lighting and the set construction, and there's no unimportant aspect of what someone can do and be involved with in the theater. It's all there. We're also doing photographs, right? Time period pieces in costume and makeup, and you have a background, and Marsha Hetherington's going to be doing that as well. Something fun, little fundraiser to do, maybe mm-hmm. send out as little picture gifts or whatever to anyone.
Postcards, whatnot.
But if you wanted to contact the Willett Shakespeare Company, it's 707-456-0152 or willettsbard@hotmail.com. Or you can become a friend of Willett Shakespeare Company on MySpace.
/the Willett Shakespeare Company, I think.
Why don't you give out that phone number again slower?
That's 707-456-0152. That's the Willett Shakespeare Company. And you can contact us at any hour of the night.
You can contact Brian at any hour of the night for us. So, yeah, I mean, if there might be some questions circulating around the community. I don't know. If you'd like to give us a call.
Sure, yeah. We'll open up the phone lines at 456-9991. I also want to remind you that this is Pledge Drive, and we are raising money for KZYX. And if you'd like to make your pledge, you could call right now at 895-2233 or 1-800-298-1296. You know, put your money into the pool here to support community radio that brings you programming like Youth Speaks Out.
Yeah.
And,
so I wanted to put a couple more plugs in here for our friends out there in the theater world. Along the same lines as youth, there's a little resurrection of the Willett Young Actors Theater. And this summer, they're going to be joined by students of La Vida Charter School, and they were performing a to-be-announced play June 14th and 16th. They're also going to be offering dance, theater, and movie-making workshops for youth in July through August. You can contact Tracy at 984-8938. If you're interested in signing up for any of the workshops or more information about Willett's Young Actors Theater. I worked with a Willett's Young Actors Theater a couple years ago doing the movie-making workshops, and it was quite an experience. The whole place is the whole organization set up by moms for something for their children to do. So that's something that is out there. Also, Willett's Community Theater is producing Cactus Flower, and a good friend of ours, Ian Stigliani, is directing that. And that's running for the next 3 weeks. And don't forget to see Greater Tuna at Ukiah Players Theater with our friend Bob Broombeck.
Hey.
So and there's actually, a lot out there. You know, not just participating in theater is also going to theater. You don't have to just be an actor, a director, writer, backstage. Just show support in that way, too.
And actually, what in Cactus, was it Cactus Flower? One of our first-time actors from last show, Noel Wickstrom, I believe. This will be his second show, and excited. And I just love the fact that he's staying with it.
Also, Cassie Wilkinson.
And Cassie too. Yes.
Shakespeare, cool. Willett Shakespeare Company member.
Yeah.
All right, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Fanny.
Hi, Fanny.
Hi, hey, Brian. Fanny. Hi, Billy.
Hello.
I just wanted to give props to these two men. They're amazing. I'm the proud parent of Skylar, who did the orphan monologue, and I just think these two guys are phenomenal. And I want to thank you publicly for giving this opportunity to our youth. It's a valuable asset to our community.
Thanks,
Fanny.
Thanks so much.
Proud supporter. Yeah.
That was wonderful. I brought tears to my eyes.
I know, seriously. I want to hug something.
Here I am.
Yeah, so if you have questions you want to ask these youth about what they gain from being involved in theater, or talk to the teachers, ask the former youth. We're all former youth, I guess, but these guys are... It wasn't as long ago.
So no, it's youth at heart. We, you know.
Yeah, and so you could give us a call at 456-9991 if you want to be part of this show, which is normally, you know, Youth Speaks Out. I've been producing this show since 1999, and the last couple of years it's been almost exclusively Laytonville High School have been the host for this show. They're really into it, and it's really fun to work with them and to work with a continuing group of young people as they watch them develop their skills in radio production and in bringing out their ideas. So if you have a question for any of the people here at the studio now, it's 456-9991.
Excellent. Now, this show is an amazing platform. When you were reading off the list of topics that you covered this entire year, I was really, really blown away and impressed. I'm going to call in and support.
Yeah,
I'll tell
absolutely.
You that.
Right. That's what I was thinking. I was going, man, it's such an essential piece. And without programs like this, I just don't think people would be as informed. You know, you bring it to the people, and it's an easy format. All you got to do is turn on your radio and dial it to 91.5.
Well,
and they'll do all the rest for you. You know, to take your shoes off, put your feet up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were just up at the John Trudell concert, and we got to make a little speech and have people come over and talk to us at the booth. And it's amazing to me how many people... You know, a lot of them, their kids are way beyond high school now. Their kids are your guys' age.
Uh-oh.
And yet, you know, they're still listening because it's so important to find out what is going on in the minds of youth these days. Because if you base it on what the media says, you're going to get a pretty weird impression that, A, kids aren't very smart, and, B, that they're a little scary, and that you don't really want to get too close to them. And the youth that have been on this show are really... I think showing there how intelligent and informed
youth
people are.
Youth is the future.
Yeah.
And if you're not listening to them, then...
Hey, you really want to invest in the future, invest in the youth.
You're on the air. But you need to shut off your radio.
I was trying to.
Okay.
Three things. One, I like the new time. 6 o'clock is a bad time on a Sunday night for listening to the radio, but, you know, cooking them in the afternoon, it's easy to listen to the show. So thanks for changing the time. Is that a permanent change?
Yes, that's permanent.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. Okay, number two, I've got two questions for the youth. One is, at one point I heard somebody say, this is a fine actress, and I'm hearing in sort of the bigger world that both male and female people in the acting profession are called actors now, and I wondered how the females in the group feel about being called an actor or an actress, or if they care. And the other one is, you make presentations at Willits High School, and do you recruit from that group because of making the presentations? Answers off the air, okay? I mean, on the air.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So the presentations at Willits High School, I'm a little confused on that. I work at the Willits Charter School, which is junior high through high school, and that's where I am teaching theater arts there, and that's where they will be performing their monologues. And later in the year, I've done an adaptation of a Beijing opera, The White Snake, and they will be performing that in late May.
So the question was, since most people in the acting profession now, you don't say actress, you say actor. How do you feel about that? Was that the question?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's become more common to call, whether you're an actress or an actor, just to say actor. And the caller was asking how you as a woman feel about to be called an actor
versus actress.
Yeah.
I think there's a place for each one. I mean, it's definitely an actress can be more specific, but when you're going to be generalizing actors, very good term.
Mm-hmm.
What have you picked up from like learning this monologue? How's that changed you?
It's a lot better so you can learn how to become another person. Like, when you're not really going to be that person, you're, like, sort of telling that person's story. So I think it's cool to be able to, like, put a different history behind you, a different, like, accent, you know, to become someone else when you're still yourself. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, you think that it expands the possibilities of who you actually are by experimenting with other beings?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
I'm just having fun.
Yeah. Would you say it helps you to understand other people based on getting into a character? You have to understand what that character's about. Does it help you understand just a broader sense of who people are?
Yeah, I'd say, like, when you're acting in different times, mm-hmm. like, different places or whatever, like Shakespeare, it definitely helps to see, like, how those people were thinking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Seeing where we came from and that time era, capturing that, I've always been really interested in that.
That's where research into your character and background is really important. That's something that we really focus on, besides focusing on the text and the words of each character. It's you develop a background for your character. You worked on that a lot, on Tori.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, Tori, you're taking class with Brian. I got to know, how is he as a teacher?
He's a very good teacher.
Oh, good. I love to hear it. That's awesome.
What kind of stuff does he make you do in getting warmed up, for example?
To have us vocalize so our lungs or whatever are warm emphasize our words. So. Yeah.
Articulation?
Yes, thank you.
We do a lot of physical warm-ups and vocal warm-ups, and I think we just have a great time. We have a blast over there. All these students have been really dedicated to the whole process this semester, and I'm super proud of all of them.
I would be too, after hearing these guys on the radio and walking in to see their faces as they're doing these monologues too, and just going, man, they're really into it.
Yeah.
Brian must be doing something right over there.
So let's give out some contact info for the Willett Shakespeare Company really quick again.
Yeah, please.
That's 707-456-0152, willettsbard@hotmail.com, or you can check us out on MySpace at Willett Shakespeare Company.
Okay, looks like we have another call here. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Robert from West of Willis. I am so pleased to hear about your progress. I just seem to always be too busy to come, but I'm starting to come. But the question that I have is, how about ancient music? Is there any place for that in this wonderful window that you're opening up for us?
I'm sorry, was that ancient music?
Yeah, like, 1601, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, essentially what we'd like to do is create kind of a cultural center in a sorts where, if somebody was knowledgeable in ancient music and wanted to either teach a workshop or do a show, that would be available for them because we've set ourselves up as a community resource like that.
I'll ask around. You are going to be hearing from me. I am just so proud of you guys. Carry on.
Thanks, Robert. West of Willits.
Awesome. I think that was, I think I've actually seen Robert play a couple of times, and he's an amazing musician. Him and his wife both are are great Celtic musicians. So.
Well, that's where theater really comes into play. I see it as an encompassing every single art form that is out there. You know, you've got the painting, you've got the acting, you've got the building. Yeah. Building is an art. You've got the music, lights. You paint with lights. It's just it encompasses every bit of art, and that's what I really enjoy about it, because that's what I'm here for.
Yeah,
to experience and to create, and to help the youth out there really experience and create as well.
And the way, you know, I mean, the society is getting to be such an ADD sort of society. I think theater has, you know, it has the access to everything. You know, you don't have to get stuck in just one thing. If you want, you can do multiple things. I suggest you pick maybe two or three, but it just opens itself to all these facets within it, you know. So.
All right. Well, we're getting close to the top of the hour, so I want to say thanks, Brian and Billy and the whole gang of from the Willits Charter School.
Thank you, Dan,
for coming in here and doing such an entertaining and enlightening job. I want to thank our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue. And we're happy to have broadcast from the Willits Studio. If you want to find out more information about Youth Speaks Out, we have our own website, youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, or listen to many hours of previous programmings and streaming audio. And this program will be up by tomorrow afternoon. That's www.youthspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They're the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of March at our new time slot, the last Sunday of April in our new time slot. So that's April 29th at 2 p.m. Thanks a lot for listening, and give a call. Pledge up. It's please call in and pledge at 895-2233 or 1-800-298-1296. See ya.